I want to look back at that verse over in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 particularly. Now I'll be reading the New King James translation, and it says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." I want to talk about magnifying Christ in our lives. You know, Jesus said, "Let your good works be seen by men, that they may," you remember what it said, "glorify your Father who is in heaven." My life ought to reflect my Savior and my God. When we talk about magnify, I want you to think for a minute, what comes to your mind when you talk about magnify? Obviously a magnifying glass comes, but what does a magnifying glass do? It makes things bigger. It enlarges them. It makes things stand out where you can see them. Not long ago, I published an old picture of Camp Wiregrass from, how long ago did we figure that was? 20, 25, 30, 35 years ago, something like that. And I got all these messages from people saying, "I found myself, I found myself." I didn't know they'd been lost for 30 years, but they found themselves in the picture. And the way that they found themselves was to blow the picture up, to magnify the picture, and to see their likeness in the picture. But I'm going to suggest today that it's not a picture that we're looking at, but a Christ that we're looking at. And that our lives ought to magnify Him in all that we do, that we make Him bigger, that we make Him stand out. And there are a couple of things that I want to kind of compare that as to what stands out in your life. You know, some of you, I can go out in the parking lot and knowing nothing else about you, I can figure out who your ball team is that you support because you've got a bumper sticker or a tag on your car. I know this about some of you. I can tell what kind of clothes some of you like because you've got a big logo on there. Y'all remember, I guess they still sell them, American Eagle shirts? Is that still available out there? Well, for years, my wife would buy them for our son, who is Adam Ellis, A.E. I thought the shirts were for him. Went to camp, all these people were Adams wearing Adam shirts. I said, "Son, go get your shirts. They're all over the camp. You need to get them back in." But what we want to do is magnify Christ in all that we do. In our very life, we want Him to be what is seen. Because Christ is bigger than anything else in your life. By the way, let me suggest, number one, that Christ is bigger than money. How many of you have ever watched The Apprentice or The Celebrity Apprentice on TV? I'm not mad at you if you did. It's okay. Have you ever seen the commercial and the theme song? You know what the theme song, the only thing I remember out of it is money, money, money. I can't sing it, but those words, it's about money, money, money. Who's going to get the money? Who's got the most money? And you look at that and you kind of try to process that. And is that what life is all about? Money? Because there's always somebody who's going to have more than you. There's always going to be somebody that's going to take some away from you. And if money is all there is, then the best you can hope for is to leave some for somebody else to spend. Or if you're a negative person, you can hope that you spend it all and there's nothing left to leave. But I would suggest that when you look at people's work schedules, their work life, their emphasis, and all they do, that money is the biggest thing in their life. Money has a place, but folks, you can't love God and money at the same time. So I want to suggest to you that Christ is bigger than money. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 with me, if you will. Jesus is talking, and if you use an older translation, it's not going to be as easy to read, so I've chosen to share with you the New International Translation that says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God." Depending on your translation, you may have mammon, which some of you think means mammals, but it doesn't. It means money. You can't serve God and money at the same time. If you're more concerned about what you've got than who you've got, you're in the wrong boat. How do you magnify Christ above money? Just a moment ago, we took up a collection. And as we prayed along with Fleming, I appreciate his prayer. We're the richest people in the world. And when we contribute to the work of the church, you realize that's a form of worship? Back in the Old Testament, they called it sacrifice, and they would actually bring in animals, and they would bring in the best of the animals, one without spot and without blemish, and they would sacrifice, and they would give that, and they would say, "God, you have of the first fruits, you have what's most important in my life, not God, you have the leftovers." Do we magnify Christ? Do people know more about who we care about than what we care about? Do we actually go out in the world and let people know that we are a Christian? I'm not talking about being offensive. I'm talking about being spiritual in everything that you do, in the way that you serve people, the way that you serve God. You see, money can be a problem. You ever heard somebody say, oh, she's just going after him because she's a gold digger? Or turn around, vice versa, because there's a lot of ladies making more money than men these days. He's just going after her for her money. All they want is to get rich, and they don't care. They're hoarding all their... Jesus talked about a farmer who was a rich farmer, and what did he do? He kept everything he had, and he said, I'll tear down my barns and do what? Build bigger barns. Jesus said, fool, this night your soul will be required. But look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is talking there. He talks about those who desire to be rich and fall into temptation and a snare. If the thing that motivates you in your life is just to get richer and richer and richer, be prepared. There's temptation at the door. There's a trap there. That's what a snare is. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are some people, it didn't say money, it said the love of money, who've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And if you'll notice the comparison, the choice there is between the spiritual and the monetary. And Paul said some people are choosing the wrong thing. And when they choose the wrong thing, they get different results. They don't get the results they want to. And so Christ, is he bigger in your life than your money is? Is there more time spent on what we're doing with our financial future than our spiritual future? Do we know more what's in the bank than what's in heaven? Do we read the market reports more than we do the Word of God? You can walk into some people's homes and you can tell right away they're doing well. It's a nice home, nice cars in the garage, nice things in the home. But I want to suggest to you that those who love Christ, you can walk in their home and tell the same thing, because their home is going to reflect their belief in God. You're likely to find a Bible. Of course, it's getting harder to find them now because they're all electronically in our phones and in our iPads and on our computers and all. But the Bible is not displayed. It's read. Or maybe you'll find a Sunday school book. Or maybe you'll see that somebody's cooking a casserole to take to a Christian who's hurting or in need. Maybe you'll find somebody's gone out to help and working. One of the great, the unsung heroes at Camp Wiregrass are not the ones that are always out there week after week working with the kids, which they are heroes themselves. But what about those who go out on Saturday and those who've gone out for the last month who've cleaned and cut grass and swept up and taken dead limbs off? And there are people who are doing things behind the scenes that you never see. That's an example, because that's where we're going. Is Christ bigger in your life and more evident in your life? Is he magnified in your life more than what money has to do with this world? But then I have another question. Is Christ bigger than fame? I want people to know who I am. I'm thinking about putting my star on the Church Walk of Fame. Don't you think we ought to just out in the foyer out there somewhere make a big plaque and put my name on it with a star? You say, you're nuts. Well, I may be, and I don't want that, but there are some people trying to be the most famous, the most popular. You know that there are young people in school and in high school and that we work with all the time, that they are fighting to be recognized. That just for somebody to know, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes of fame, as they say. They want to be on the TV, in the newspaper, and then there's some awful things that are done in the search for this fame, for this notoriety. But Christ must be magnified and bigger than our pride, than that desire to seek fame and to be famous. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch it, because this is where it becomes important. Who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Christians, I know we're trying to become more Christ-like in our life, but we're not trying to do that to put on a billboard. We're not trying to do that for the fame of men, but for the salvation of our souls, to be more like he is. Jesus was God, is God, was in heaven, was eternal, and he came and he put on the form of a man. He became a bondservant. He became a slave to the rest of humanity. He took on all everybody's sins, your sins and my sins. Jesus died for us when he was already in heaven. That continues to boggle my mind, that how I'm spending my whole life trying to get to where he is, and he gave his life from where he is now to come to where I am to get me there. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Look at me! No, look at him. To God be the glory. What do we magnify? Do we magnify our accomplishments or his accomplishments? He left the glory of heaven. You and I are walking around as his created. Pride goes before destruction. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the prophet was looking for a king to take the place of King Saul. Saul's life had not gone as he should have. He's introduced things that God didn't want, and so it's time for a new king. It won't follow his lineage. It will not be his son who takes the throne next. And so he goes to the house of Jesse, the prophet does. He brings his boys. I secretly suspect that this story is where the thought for Cinderella came from. Stay with me. Remember Cinderella, they had the sisters in there, and the Cinderella was out cleaning up and not really considered to be a child, not really considered to be worthy of the prince's attention. And so it was with the sons of Jesse as they came in, one right after another. And they were good-looking boys. They were strong. They were tall. They were outstanding young men. And when Samuel thought he had found the successor, God said no. And listen to what he said. The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Christ is bigger than fame or who's on the picture or on the front of the paper or the magazine or the television or who's on the poster or who's on the marquee. Christ died for you. And if we'd make someone famous, let's make him and his cross famous. If we would shine the spotlight on anyone, let it be to the one who gives us entrance into heaven. The one who can forgive us of our sins. But as I continue these thoughts, you know, Christ is bigger than power. Have you watched the news lately? All the power that's going from country to country and who's doing what and who's negotiating, who's in and who's out, who's got nuclear bombs, who's got... Yesterday in the city of Dallas, and there was a man who was upset with the police department and the laws, and he came out and he set pipe bombs and brought an armored vehicle and shot people. There's a lot of power there, but I want you to know that we need to not magnify the power of man, but the power of the cross and of the Christ. We need to enlarge, make stand out what Jesus did, not what all the crazy people in this world are doing. We need to magnify him, Paul said, in our bodies, in the way that we live, in the way that we talk, in the way that we are. Christ is bigger than whatever power grab there is going on out in the world today. He's bigger than that. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 and 19, as he begins to give the Great Commission, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The King James says it's all power. All authority, all power has been given unto Jesus Christ, who left heaven and came to earth and lived as a man and died on a cross and was put in a borrowed tomb, and even death could not hold him. He was more powerful than all the power that earth had. And he was more powerful than anything that Satan had too, by the way. I know that they're important people. I don't know if I've shared this story because really it makes me look bad. Some years ago, when we were serving as the Red Cross shelter, y'all, most of y'all who were here then remember that. And there was a hurricane out in the Gulf, and people would come by, and fire chief came by, the police chief came by, different ones were in and out checking to see that people who were sheltered here were okay. And this guy came in, and he had on a yellow raincoat and a yellow rain hat. He really kind of looked like a banana, if you want to know the truth. And so I shook hands with the fire chief, and I said, hi, and I looked at this banana guy, and I said, I'm Keith Ellis, who are you? He said, I'm the mayor. So I did the only thing left. I said, hi, Mr. Mayor. I recognize him today, but you know more than the halls of government or the President of the United States or any figure in the geopolitical world, Jesus Christ has more power than anyone, for not one of them spoke the universe into creation. And not one will exist to judge this world except Jesus Christ alone. There are people who are important. I'm not saying that. But if you're most interested in grabbing more power and becoming somebody and becoming famous and being able to direct the town or the city or the country, then you need to understand that Christ is bigger than any power on earth. For he said, all power has been given unto me. John 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he knew that everything had been given into his hands. I want you just to try this for a moment just to kind of get the idea. Pick out somebody, preferably one of these teenagers up here, and just give them your car keys and say, have at it. Any volunteers want to give their car keys to me? I could match them up with the ones I think not a... Y'all need to be nicer. Nobody's offering a car for you. That's too much power. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27. It's Apostle Paul who said, for he's put all things under his feet. When he says all things, it's accepted that God is not under his feet. I guess I'll try to wrap it up with this one. God is bigger than you are. He's bigger than I am. And when we become the most important thing in our universe, we fail to acknowledge the power of Christ. And so we can look in the mirror, we can get whatever degrees we want, we can go and work out at the gym as much as we want to, but Jesus is more powerful than we are. He's bigger than we are. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it's the Apostle Paul who says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to have worth and value that lasts throughout the ages and eons of time and even beyond time itself, for me to live is Christ. When it comes to our worship today, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's all about Him. His sacrifice was about us and our sin. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12. He said, for I say to you, by the grace given unto me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. Give a fair assessment of yourself. There's a song in the songbook I don't like. In fact, someone has changed it to, it wasn't me, but somebody has changed it in several versions to a better one. I don't want you to think that we're not important. We are. The song said that Jesus dies for such a worm as I. I'm not a worm. I was created in the image of God. So somebody has changed in some of the songbooks, it says, for such a one as I. And I'm not particularly trying to change songbooks, but I want you to say that I was important enough that Jesus died for my sins, but he is so powerful that he could die for my sins, and I couldn't die for anybody else's sin. Not only for me, but for all the world. So really what we're asking this morning is Christ magnified in you. I know there are other things we could have looked at, but our time is gone. It's important for you to ask yourself right now, either as one who's been obedient to Christ and become a Christian, is Jesus being magnified in you, or are people even aware that you belong to Him? And if you've never obeyed and become a Christian, why not accept Him right now by faith? Change your way of living from living to self to living for Him. Confess His name before men that He can confess you before the angels of heaven. With the mouth, confession is made in salvation. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be raised to walk in newness of life and be faithful unto death, where you can hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If you need to become a Christian, we can assist you. If you need to be restored, we can assist you. If you need prayers, we're here to pray with you. If we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?